A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Ram, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 22, 1997, entitled A Cosmic Symphony, Divine Improvisation, Human Wonder. The texts for the sermon are Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 8, and John 1, verses 1 through 14. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
This morning I'm going to try to draw together some of the threads of these past weeks, which, as I've said to you, has been a bit of an accidental series for me. I've actually liked it myself, and I can't say that about all sermon series, but this is one I didn't intend and yet seemed to be led into week by week. And I've been fascinated with this reflection on God, which began on Pentecost as we thought about the fact that the Spirit of God enlivens all that is, permeates all that is, and then moved to Trinity Sunday. And to my great surprise, I found myself thinking about threeness in God, much after the order of the old Trinity symbol. The God who is mystery, the God who is beyond our knowing, the God who can be spoken of only in terms of what God is not, as the Eastern Orthodox tradition has said, the via negativa. You can say God is not this and God is not that and God is not that, but the moment you say God is, you begin to define, and that is to limit. And therefore, it is best to recognize that God is a mystery. And yet we experience God. And the experience of God we speak of as the Spirit of God, that which is present to all that is and to our lives. I stumbled on the analogy of St. Augustine, who spoke of the mystery God as that infinite ocean. Now, to be sure, that's a metaphor, an ocean without limits. And then of reality, the world, ourselves, as a sponge submerged into that ocean. A very helpful analogy to express that God is more than the world, more than the reality that we experience, and yet the totality of that reality, which includes us, submerged as a sponge into that ocean, is totally permeated with the stuff of the ocean, the mystery interlaced, interfaced, saturating everything that is, giving it life, keeping it in existence, the mystery. Intimately interwoven in all that is, and yet still no clue as to the nature or intention of that mystery until we in the Christian church discover the face of Jesus. And that face gives focus, definition, specificity to the mystery. If the mystery has become flesh, the Word, in the beginning was the Word in Greek is logos. Logos can mean also intention or purpose. In the beginning was the logos, the intention, the idea. Logos in Greek can be translated into sermo in Latin. Sermo in Latin can be translated into sermon in English. In the beginning was the sermon without end. The sermon. God's intention, God's purpose, God's expression, God coming to expression, the mystery coming to expression in the Word made flesh, in a human face. And if the human face is the clue to the mystery, then the nature of the mystery is love and grace. And the purpose of religious devotion must issue in compassion and community. And so we've been thinking about God in threeness and our devotion issuing in compassion, because the clue to the mystery is the face of Jesus. Now, let's see if we can think once more about that mystery that is God in relationship to our world. How does God interact with the world, with the universe? How does God relate to creation? Because finally, are not our questions about God questions about ourselves? Do we not ultimately wonder whether prayer is meaningful? Whether that old idea of the providence of God still holds, given what we know about the grand cosmic unfolding of billions of years. This cosmic symphony that has been unfolding, new forms emerging, finally, after billions of years, emerging into creatures like us, who are self-conscious, who are aware, who begin to think about the symphony, the cosmos, who are asking questions such as we are asking, who are wondering about meaning, and in our human experience, sometimes taken out of ourselves to another dimension. How does God engage with cosmos? How does the Creator relate to the creation? Are there images or models that we can use that could help us, given what we know about this amazing universe, of which more and more is coming to light every day? More and more wonder, more and more mystery. Where is God in all of that? Where is God in relationship to our lives, to our hopes and dreams, our prayers? I borrow the image of the morning from an English scientist, theologian named Arthur Peacock. Arthur Peacock, in this book, Theology for a Scientific Age, which was published in 1993, was at that time the dean of Clare College, Cambridge, the college that Rutter, our composer of the morning, attended, and where he now directs the Cambridge Singers. Just an interesting connection. But I'm not sure whether Peacock is still at Clare College, Cambridge, or has moved back to Oxford, because another little connection, the astronomer-physicist from Kelvin College, Dr. Howard Ventil, happened to be here at the first service. I'm glad I didn't spot him in the audience. I would have been paralyzed. But 2 years ago, he suggested, he told me he visited for 2 hours in Arthur Peacock's home. And Arthur Peacock, in his in his trained scientific mode, is also a trained theologian. He's in that wonderful Anglican tradition of ordained scientists. Don't you love it? And he suggests music as the finest metaphor, the milieu in which to think about God and God's relationship and interaction with the creation and with our lives. God as composer of this musical score that is unfolding in cosmic reality. God as composer, even God as improviser. God who is that mystery, that fountain out of which flows that infinite cosmic river of energy and matter and time and space. God as the composer of the score, a divine symphony. God the composer improviser. And we who have come on the scene lately, after 15 billion years, creatures like us, thinking thoughts like this, we are those who stand in wonder of it all and who are able to discern intention and purpose, and who in the discernment of the intention and purpose of the Creator are taken out of ourselves, lost in wonder, love, and praise. That image of God as the composer of a cosmic symphony is fascinating and fruitful in my own reflection on how God and the world are connected. Because can't you see the cosmic drama, these billions of years, it's unfolding, it's unfolding, it's unfolding as the unfolding of a musical score. Can't you visualize the musical score unfolding as the centuries roll by, but each moment obviously coming from the moment before, fitting, as it were, and flowing into the succeeding moment. When music is right, doesn't it flow thus? Can't you cut it at any moment and almost sense what must have come before and what must follow? And so the unfolding symphony of creation, each moment meaningful, but an unfolding, cumulative miracle in the making. And then in that created order, there are certain laws. We speak of the laws of nature, and they are given. And yet within that givenness, the scientists tell us, the quantum physicists and those who are in molecular biology, they tell us that the universe is not ironclad. Those laws of nature at the macro level and at the micro level are unpredictable. There is the possibility for newness, for surprise, for novelty that can't be predicted. And so the musical score is unfolding, but might it go this way or that way? How will it show itself finally? Chance and necessity and the composer of the score certainly being above it, being the source of it, and yet writing his own soul into it so that the very life of the composer is engaged, is coming to expression in that score, that musical score itself. And then, having taken the risk of creating creatures like us, in the image of God, thinking God's thoughts after God, free, creative. God is introduced into the scene, those who become co-creators, so that now we do have a hand in the way things are going to go. There is a sense in which the cosmos is in our hand. And God now, dealing with those who have their own autonomy in a sense, their own creativity, their own freedom to move this way or that, to develop the infinite potential in the stuff of creation, taking it this way or that way, having the possibility of creating a nuclear bomb that could destroy it all, or using that nuclear isotope to rid a body of a cancer, able to nurture the rainforest and protect the earth or cut them down, able to pollute the seas or to make them pristine and life-enhancing, able to pollute the air or see the sky in blue brilliance on such a morning as this. Co-creators with God, having freedom and creativity and responsibility. God, as it were, making elbow room for those who have emerged at this point, joining God in the composition. Also being those who are able to hear the music and actualize the music. God all the time playing with the likes of us in a level of complexity beyond our comprehension. No wonder Arthur Peacock says that God is best imaged as a jazz improviser. I did say to Ken Miedema last week that if he would come back, I was going to talk about God as a jazz improviser. Now, Ken is an improviser par excellence. He's all over the keyboard. But I said to him, but you can't go everywhere on that keyboard. You seem just to skate across that keyboard, at will. But I said to him, there are certain laws. There are certain musical givens. It is only within those parameters that you can operate with freedom. He said, well, that's right. And I said to him, if you improvise, when you begin, you're not sure where you're going to end up. He said, that's right. And I said, when you end up, you're not sure how you got there and you couldn't get there that way again. And he said, that's right. So Mr. Bryson and I were passing in the parking lot on Friday, and I said, I might call on you on Sunday. Stay awake on the bench. On the way to church this morning, I heard of... On the way to church this morning, I heard of Marcel Dupré, the French composer. They said he could improvise at the drop of a theme. So I think what I will say now, in order for you to get the sense of God directing, composing, dealing, fainting, moving with the likes of us in order to actualize the intentions that are given in this wonderful symphonic poem, listen to the improvisation of an artist. Greg, give us a simple theme and then elaborate it, embroider it, make it come to life in all kinds of ways that no one could ever conceive of. never been written before. It's never been played before. There's been no score like that before, and there never will be again, because there is the artist at work with a creativity that takes Jesus loves me, this I know, and brings it to depths and heights and brilliance of expression, but all built on that simple tune. And my suggestion to you is that in the beginning, out of the mystery flowed a simple theme that has been embroidered upon and elaborated upon, added to, fractioned, subtracted, readjusted, reconfigured, on and on and on and on for billions of years, while stardust coalesced and energy and matter formed into the solar system as we know it, until finally there were the likes of us who were able to hear the tune, sing the tune, speak of the tune, and improvise on the tune with a divine improviser, taking our world to places for which the script is not written and the way not prescribed, called upon, however, to learn the intention of the composer in order that our jazz improvisation will be marked by compassion, by the doing of love, by the moving of the whole cosmic symphony into a new dimension of harmony not yet dreamed of, to bring the human person into humane community, community of loving support, full of grace, standing in awe of the one who has written the theme, that divine oratorio, whose theme is God loves you and all will be well. That is the song. And we are the singers with that one who has put the song in our hearts. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful? On a day like this, to breathe deeply, to look around one, and to know that one is living, vibrant, expression of the eternal God, who certainly is beyond us, but more intimately with us than our very breath. That's about all I have to say. Thank God, who brings to the soul that is open and aware deep peace through it all.